This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Unzipped, fin24.com's technology podcast. My name is Simon Dingle. In the show this week, we take a close look at Telkom Mobile's new ATA service. We'll speak to Amit Maharaj, who's the managing executive of Telkom Mobile for the Telkom Group. We'll also look at Microsoft TechEd, the big conference that the big software giant holds annually. TechEd Africa is the biggest it's ever been this year, and we'll sit down to chat about it with Brett Haggard from Connect Magazine. And we'll also look at Windows Phone 7 quite closely, because that's the big talking point at this year's Microsoft TechEd. But first, it's all about Telkom Mobile. Let's speak to Amit Maharaj about the launch of ATA. So Amit, Telkom Mobile, ATA is finally here. This is the brand that you're going to market with. And at the moment, there are only prepaid services available, but they are available at the moment. If consumers want to get hold of an ATA SIM card and sign up for the service, what do they need to do?
Look, Simon, they have to carry their RICA documents. I think the RICA process now is quite familiar to prepaid subscribers. So they need an ID and a proof of residence.
Okay.
And all they need to do then is visit, an Edgar's, a Jet, AutoPage, a Telkom Direct store, CNA, Smart Call store. You know, there's a list, and I think that's available on the website for where they can actually buy the SIM.
And that website is ata.co.za, am I right?
ata.com.
ata.com, sorry. Okay, fantastic. Now, Amit, we've seen what the likes of Vodacom, MTN, Cell C and Virgin Mobile have from a prepaid perspective. What makes ATA different?
Okay, we have fantastic value in all services. So let's start with the voice service. For every minute of incoming calls, we will reward our customers with 20 seconds of outgoing calls. So there's a 3-to-1 ratio. It can happen from the first 3 seconds all the way to, 30-minute conversation. And that's for incoming calls from other mobile or from all mobile networks to an ATA SIM. Okay. So that's the first big benefit that subscribers can look forward to. The second one is calls at 65 cents from ATA to any landline number, okay, which is the lowest rate. In fact, it's lower than even a community services call. You know, the community containers out there, those calls are charged at 90 cents a minute. This is at 65 cents. And then the next one is for SMSs. SMSs are charged at 50 cents. But if you send 5 in a day, you will be rewarded with 50 free SMSs for that day.
Okay.
On the data side, the data is normally billed by our competitors at 2 rand a meg for prepaid, and we are charging 1 rand per megabyte.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Now, I also see their data bundles available, and you can get your in-bundle data rate down to about 25 cents per megabyte. How important is data for ATA, and especially in the prepaid space? I've heard from other networks that more than half of their traffic at the moment is data. It's obviously a very significant part of the service.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely significant. I think, by us coming in with a rate that's 50% cheaper than our competitors, at least gives prepaid customers the peace of mind to use the service and get to know the service better. If you look at our web presence and our mobile site, we're also going to encourage usage via that site and really hope that data takes off. It's definitely the service that we are preparing for the future. I'm talking in the next 2 to 3 years, we see huge data potential.
Fantastic. Now, in terms of the uptake of ATA, Amit, I suspect it may be too early to ask you what the reaction of the market has been like. It's been less than a week since the service has actually been available. But in terms of Telkom strategy, are you expecting a slow uptake, or are you preparing yourself for a very rapid sort of turn to the service from consumers? What are the plans there?
Look, it depends a lot on our distribution, which we've signed up quite a few distribution partners. But as more and more of the informal distributors come online, we're expecting, a huge uptake, especially with the very upbeat and fresh marketing campaign that we've done, not only, on radio and TV, but in print and on online media.
Okay. And the big question for a lot of consumers surrounds handsets. There's a fixation on things like the iPhone and on BlackBerries and on these new Android devices. Windows Phone 7 is coming. What can we expect from Ater?
Look, we under NDA from the last three that you've specifically mentioned. I think it's hard to disclose a lot. But, you can certainly look forward to BlackBerry in the near term. As I've mentioned before with iPhone, they have very strict NDA agreements, so I'm not allowed to discuss anything further about that. But if you go to the Ater website, you'll be able to see the list of handsets that are available as at the moment.
Now, you've said that BlackBerry as well is on the cards, and we can expect that perhaps even before the end of the year. But in terms of contracts, Amit, that's something that you told me when we spoke last week that you would be looking to launch around November. Once again, it would be unfair for you to reveal any details of the contracts, and you're probably still working on the finer details. But can consumers expect similar sort of prices to what Ater has launched on prepaid?
Yeah, I think they can look forward to a lot of value. I think we definitely have to be different in our approach, and that's the general idea that we want to get across. We're going to be simple and offer a lot of value. So I think if the prepaid is anything to go by, I think our postpaid subscribers will be really excited by the offers.
Fantastic. And then finally, for the corporates, when we chatted last week, you and Ms. Moholi suggested that would be a sort of a six-month time frame, and that you're currently working with your corporate customers in terms of what exactly they need. That won't be part of the Ater brand, will it?
No, that will be sold via our hugely successful telecom business department under the telecom business brand, where mobility will be just one product in the whole basket of services that they will offer to corporates.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed, Amit, and all the best with the launch of Ater. We look forward to seeing what your contracts look like next month. That was Amit Maharaj, the Managing Executive for Telkom Mobile at the Telkom Group. Sounds exciting. Moving on now to Microsoft and the big TechEd conference that's underway in Durban this week. We're recording Unzipped live from TechEd Africa. It's the biggest the conference has ever been this year. And to discuss it, I've invited Brett Haggard from Connect Magazine, who's also down in Durban for the show, to chat a bit about what we found. So, Brett, it's the second day of TechEd. We're busy getting into it at the time this is being recorded. Day one was yesterday. But there seems to be more interest in TechEd this year than there usually is. I haven't been for a while. I've been to two TechEds before, but they were sort of, 2-3 years ago. So it just seems there's a lot of interest in what Microsoft's up to at the moment.
Yeah, there's been a steady growth in the number of developers attending TechEd year on year. In fact, it's gotten to the point now where they can't relocate it back to anywhere else. They have to keep on holding TechEd in Durban. In excess of 2,000 hardcore developers pitching up for this conference at this stage. So, I mean, it's definitely growing in interest. What's been cool for me to see is how many people are interested in consumer stuff.
Well, yeah, because the big focus at this year's TechEd seems to be on Windows Phone 7, which makes sense since it's the sort of the most recent Microsoft product to hit the market. We'll see it in South Africa in November, but the attention Windows Phone 7 is getting this week down in Durban is quite something.
I think it's the first time that Microsoft's actually shown the handsets off.
Yeah,
before we've seen demos of it, we've seen videos of it. An isolated handful of us have actually been able to play with the device up to now. But there's a bunch of Microsoft staff walking around with Windows phones, predominantly Samsung and LG hardware at this stage. I haven't seen anything from HTC or any of the other vendors. But yes, it's a very different experience when you hold on to it and actually start working with it. I was chatting to a developer yesterday that was very excited about Windows Phone and said that while he was like, almost reservedly excited up to this point because he thinks the features are there and it's a very compelling operating system – you can't tell what the operating system is going to actually be like until you've held the device and you've actually played around with the hardware and seen how it performs on a specific model of phone. So yeah, and he was very impressed with it. I must say, a lot more responsive than what I thought it was going to be, a lot more intuitive than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And Apple could have some competition here, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an iPhone user, and I also enjoy, you know, BlackBerry and some of the Android devices I've played with. But what I've seen of Windows Phone 7 this week has been very impressive. One of the guys, John Press, actually, from Microsoft, was showing me the HTC Mozart, which I haven't actually seen a live product, but he showed me pictures and all of the specs of it. And this looks like it's going to be one of the more popular Windows Phone 7 devices, a little touchscreen phone. Now, Microsoft's been quite strict with its policy for developers and manufacturers on this phone, almost in an Apple sense. They're very prescriptive around how many buttons the phone's allowed to have, how big the screen's allowed to be.
It has to have two cameras, which is another thing. And yes. I think it has to have more than one networking technology. And they've set a set of low bar, minimum system requirements.
Yeah.
So a minimum of 1 gigahertz processor, et cetera, et cetera. You know, a minimum amount of storage, which is good. I mean, they haven't been quite as prescriptive as some other vendors have been to say that, okay, this is the specification for the phone. The only customization you as a vendor are allowed to do relates to what the phone looks like and what the outer shell
is.
They've been prescriptive about the buttons and set these low-end specifications and said it has to be better than X, which is good because it's going to ensure that you have a good user experience when you go out and buy any old Windows phone, which I think will be cool.
And it's also going to prevent a problem that I see with Android is that Android's become very fragmented and you've got, you know, some device manufacturers are running really old versions of the software. The hardware is completely disparate. You know, some of them have keyboards, some of them don't. Some of them have 12 buttons, some of them have one.
You're going to find some slide-out keyboards on Windows Phone, but again, it being a touch-based operating system, all the keyboard's going to fulfill on is being a secondary input mechanism. It's not actually going to impact how the phone functions, which I think is quite cool.
So let's talk about some of the cooler features then. One thing that I was impressed with was its social networking integration.
Sure.
So you give it your Facebook account and your Twitter account and things like that.
It doesn't yet integrate with Twitter. It's coming.
I saw some of the usage models.
But the hub doesn't yet speak Twitter. I think it's Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I think there's one or two other social, like MSN.
Yeah.
And Xbox Live, of course.
Twitter is imminent. And then what you'll be able to do is, for example, it'll bring in pictures of your contacts from Facebook. If you're browsing in Internet Explorer, and I was quite impressed with the browsing. It was a lot better than I expected it to be. It's very similar, I suppose, to the iPhone in that respect. But while you're browsing on a web page, you can bring up a little menu, and you can very easily share that website with your friends, for example, from within the browser. So very nicely integrated across all of the applications. And that was one thing that I think, you know, some people don't like about the iPhone is that it's very difficult to integrate across application.
It's a concept that Microsoft's calling hubs. And I must say, you know, there is a little more to this than marketing spin, which I kind of liked. It's a rad way at looking at how to get information and details and stuff like that to users. So Microsoft's whole thrust with Windows Phone is to try and get you in and out of your applications and your information as fast as possible. So you don't need to click around and really search for stuff. So the People Hub is a clear example, like you were saying. The fact that on a normal phone, if you wanted to go into your contacts list, what you'd see there is you'd see email addresses, you'd see phone numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But why not do what Microsoft is now doing and give you the latest Facebook updates from those people, you know, in your address book, the latest tweet, what they've posted recently, if they've changed their status image, immediately update that, okay?
Yeah.
Instead of, on the majority of smartphones, having to go into a separate application for Twitter and then go into a separate application for Facebook, this integrates it and brings it into one place.
Yeah,
it's going to do the same for messaging, which is really, really cool. Very much like what BlackBerry did with messaging, you know, giving you a unified inbox for your SMS, your BlackBerry messaging, and your email. So these hubs, I think, is actually a really, really good idea, and it's got legs. I think it's a good concept.
Definitely. I spoke to John Press about this, and he said that it would launch without a marketplace, so that's their application store, which is a big down. He said they are working with manufacturers, however, to make sure that certain key applications are bundled with the device. He said we'd see the phones themselves before Christmas this year in South Africa. They can't commit to an exact date at this moment in time. They also can't tell us exactly when we'll see the marketplace, but they said it will be soon, you know, quote unquote.
Okay, so what I've heard this week is that the phones will launch around the 11th of November. Apparently,
Availability. Okay,
a couple of weeks after that. The one interesting thing is that operators will have the ability to do a certain amount of customization on the device. So we're talking beyond wallpapers and skins and stuff like that have normally happened.
Well, they can't do skins. They're not allowed to.
Indeed, But we're talking about applications here. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a nice differentiator for the networks, is the ability to put custom applications or pick and choose from some applications that are available in the marketplace and put those on the handset. The fact that marketplace is not going to be available for me is a huge, huge issue.
Yeah.
Because I think that at least 80% of what makes a smartphone successful today is the availability of applications. It's the ultimate form of customizability. Take a look at your iPhone, take a look at my iPhone.
Yes.
We're using a completely different subset of applications. Some people are going to have games on their handset, other people aren't, right?
Mm.
An accountant's going to have different applications to a journalist, right? And that is a very, very important element, is having that marketplace available.
Yeah.
Beyond that, all right, it's also important to the developer community. And I've chatted to a bunch of guys this week that have actually been quite vocal about it and said, look, until we know that there's somewhere for us to sell the applications Microsoft so desperately wants us to build for this phone, we're not going to bother.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to develop applications for the international market. They want to develop applications that give local relevance, local mapping information, local news headlines, local content, local video, local audio. They want to be able to do that kind of stuff. And right now, unless the marketplace is available, they're not going to be able to do that. Yeah.
There was also the rumor yesterday that Nokia is going to release a Windows Phone 7. It was actually started by Aki Anastasio, who swears one of the guys from Microsoft let slip with that. Nokia has since come out and said quite definitively that they are not planning to do a Windows Phone 7.
Categorically denied it.
But
which generally means that they're planning to do something relatively soon.
But it'll be interesting seeing Microsoft try to make its way back into the market. Windows Mobile at the moment sitting on about a 5% market share. It's got a long way to go against the likes of Research in Motion. BlackBerry's about 18% of the global market. iPhone about 14%. And Nokia still owns the lion's share with Symbian at about 47%. So, Microsoft has a long way to go. It'll be interesting. Brett's the proud owner of a Windows Phone 7, although he doesn't have it yet, but he won it yesterday in a competition.
It was kind of random. Yeah, I pitched up for the Mobile Smackdown. It was the name of the deep dive session on Windows Phone 7, and I was sitting in the audience taking notes diligently and asking a couple of questions. And when I got time for them to pick prizes, they were using a random number generator application on the Windows Phone.
And
my seat number came up. So I'm the proud owner of a yet-to-be-determined-what-vendor Windows Phone 7.
Not a bad way to start the week.
Indeed. I think, it's strange because I tweeted in the morning that, I'm tired of hearing about Windows Phone 7. Could I have one to play with, please? And 2 hours later, I'd won one. So that was kind of cool.
From your mouth to Steve Ballmer's ear.
Indeed.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Unzip, Brett.
No hassle. Thanks for having me, dude.
That's Brett Haggard from Connect Magazine. And that's it for this week's episode of Unzip. Thanks for listening. I'm Simon Dingle for fin24.com.